Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Monday, January 14th. It's great to be working on a Monday. Great team win. We're on to Kansas City, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Many men wish death upon me. Blood in my eye, dog, and I can't see. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be. And trying to take my life away.
Mm. All right, a little issue there, but that was Tom Brady. You love Tom Brady's videos when he puts them out there. Do you like Cam Newton's? You know, that's really the question right now with throwing it out there. You see Tom Brady pumping you up, Cam Newton pumping you up. So I'm just curious, you know, how do you look at the two of them? Do you look at them the same? Look at them differently? I know Brady was here for 20 years. This guy's the new guy, but I'm just curious. What do you feel about him? Let's go to the calls. I want to go to Jesse in Montreal. Jesse, go ahead. You're on OMF.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. So I think the Tom Brady and Cam Newton situations are very similar. Cam Newton's, he took that deal because he's coming to a team where he thinks he has the best chance to win, kind of similar to what Brady did with Tampa Bay. My real question is with Bill Belichick, though. I think we're in a rebuilding mode where we should be trying to find the next Tom Brady through the draft. And I think this is kind of a year where we could do that, where, you know, Tom, like, say, Peyton Manning went to Denver while the Colts tanked for Luck. I think that's kind of the situation we should be in, because getting Cam Newton just delays finding another year and finding the next Tom Brady.
What so you didn't think? You didn't like signing Cam then. You wanted to go with Stidham. If he's good, good. You found a guy. If not, he sucks, you tank.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't expect him to sign Newton. I mean, it'll be interesting to watch this year. I think Newton wants to win and wants to win the division and get to the playoffs, so that's not a bad thing at all. But I think the Patriots should be trying to find that next quarterback. I mean, Cincinnati right now, they're starting their new journey with the number one pick. That's kind of what I wanted it.
All right, thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, start over, then the Cincinnati Bengals, the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, the Bengals went to the playoffs like 4 years in a row.
Well, they had Andy Dalton. No, they had Andy Dalton. He wasn't, you know, nobody really got too excited, but he was a good quarterback in the NFL.
Cleveland's a better example. Draft a quarterback every other year. Think he's the guy and ain't the guy, right?
That's a better example. Over and over and over again.
That is an opinion that I am surprised we didn't hear more of. You know, we've had this discussion before because everybody drank so much Kool-Aid on Jared Stidham and who he could become that it's sort of... I felt like every time I had mentioned Cam Newton, it turned into, no, Stidham or bust. Find out if the kid can play. If he can, great. If he gets better every week, then maybe you got the quarterback of the future. If he sucks, tank, get that top 10 pick. Maybe you can maneuver or find that next quarterback. There's a couple of guys, right? Trevor Lawrence, Josh Fields out in Ohio State. Who knows if Joe Burrow pops up? Where was Joe Burrow a year ago today?
Joe Burrow.
Was he the first overall pick?
Well, think about it. So the Chicago Bears had an opportunity to draft Patrick Mahomes. They signed Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
They drafted Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. Now look at what the Cleveland Browns, where the Chicago Bears are. Now look where the Chiefs are at.
Yeah.
What a bust. So Joe Burrow could very well be Patrick Mahomes.
Well, the point is that last year at this point, we keep talking about Trevor Lawrence and Josh Fields. A year ago, we weren't talking about Joe Burrow. We were talking about Tua, right? That's basically who people were talking about. And maybe even the kid Herbert out in Oregon. You know, that was about it. All of a sudden, here comes Joe Burrow, and he goes first overall.
Yeah.
So this thought that people were just fine with, hey, Bill knows best. He's going with Stidham. go with Stidham. He's the guy. He has confidence in him. And you know what? If he gets hurt or if he can't play, then, hey, you drop in. Maybe you do win those six games I was talking about, or five, and you got the sixth, seventh pick. And it doesn't cost much to go up and, you know, to trade up to the third pick or the fourth pick, or you sit there and get your guy. That's where I feel like the opinion of people were headed. And then all of a sudden, Cam Newton shows up, and everyone's like, smart move. And it's like, I understand that contractually it's a smart move, but if you wanted to go with Stidham, you may never know what Stidham is. A year from now, we could be sitting here and still don't know what the freak Stidham is.
To this day, it still drives me crazy how so many people, including Glenn, push this, they love Stidham, they love Stidham. They had no choice but to love Stidham. That is what they were left with. To this day, I will never say that they were 100% sure that this is the quarterback of the future. How would they know that? They have no clue. Well, he looked great in camp. He looked great in reps during the year. Batting practice, man. Every ball was just flying off the bat, man. Out of the stadium.
Sounds different.
Oh, it's just, it was so silly. Well, they didn't draft anybody. Because they couldn't.
No, they didn't draft anybody.
So
you remember?
They were just waiting for the right opportunity, but they knew they had to make a switch.
See, this is why even in the draft, when they're not going to draft anybody because they don't think anyone's better than Stidham. That's what you heard. They can't get Burrow. They're not going to get Tua. And nobody else, including Jordan Love, is better than Jared Stidham. And I don't understand that at all. And we always use the example of, the Washington drafted RG3, and they came back two, three rounds later and drafted Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, see, I think that was part of it. I think that was a small percentage of it, but I still believe that the fact is they had other needs that needed to be addressed other than the quarterback position, where they knew they had a placeholder that at least they could get by with. It's not who they wanted, but, based on the options, it's good enough. And then we're going to wait and see what materializes. Let's see what becomes available.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they waited long enough. He got desperate, and then here we go.
Yeah, see, I think it was always in the cards because I feel like Cam early on in free agency was looking for a lot of money. Nobody was going to bring him in. Then it was, well, we got to move on Cam. We can't sit around and wait, so we're going to bring in some of these backups. Cam's not willing to be a backup. He's not going to take this kind of money early. So we put our rosters together. And eventually, Bill starts looking at it and says, here it is. I mean, Dalton's going to be released. We got a shot at Dalton. We got a shot at Cam. Okay. He said even at draft day, we'll continue to try to upgrade the position. They brought in Cam Newton because they just upgraded the position. Cam Newton, to me, and I think we both agree, is the starter. It's his job to lose. I want to go to Spencer in Beverly. Spencer, go ahead. You're on OMF.
Hey, guys. Great show today. Real quick backstory on Lou. I was at the Fenway Park sitting next to him at the Zach Brown Band. What a great guy Lou is. He had a look on his face the whole time. Don't talk to me about sports, man. So I left him alone, and we had a great night.
Little tear in my eye. No Zach Brown. No Kenny Chesney.
Stephanie is awesome, man. You got a great
little
wife.
Brian. Thank
great
you.
Great people, friends. Yeah, we had a lot of fun that night.
We had a good
time.
It
was a lot of fun. Anyway, real quick, I want to talk about Cam here. There's no question that this guy's going to come in here. He's in phenomenal shape. I've seen him throw the ball. I know he doesn't have a pressure on him yet and all this and that, but this guy is – who else would you want in here after Brady leaving the building? Honest to God, name a quarterback that could come in and bring this type of cachet, this type of swag, this type of upside. He has a huge why to succeed. He needs to succeed to have a contract, and he knows it.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that can happen to him is he's going to get franchised if he has a good year. But still, he's going to get his payday if he comes out. Now, the schedule's tough. There's no question. But we have to agree right now, right, Christian, that offensive line now is stronger. It's going to give him better protection. He brings versatility and an athleticism that we haven't had in that quarterback position for I don't know how long, maybe ever in this franchise.
No, you've never had it.
Yes.
You've never had it. So I will say it's funny because when you think about all the options that were out there, when you talk about Brady being – after Brady, who do you think the most critiqued, criticized – player in the NFL was? Just there's a lot of them, but only a couple kind of really stand out to me as far as guys that are overanalyzed every single time they take the field. Odell Beckham Jr. is one of them.
Yep.
Big personality, all up in your face, maybe a little misunderstood, who knows. Cam Newton is definitely the other one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Misunderstood, I'm assuming that's what people tell us. You talk to the people down in Carolina, oh, he's great, his players love him.
Yes.
But He says the wrong thing here, puts his foot in his mouth here, you know, facial expressions, poutiness, whines, complains, big play, engaging with the fans. I mean, that, and then you go from that guy, you go from Brady, who was hands down the most critiqued player in sports history, to Cam Newton. Talk about just being in a great position as far as our job goes. You could have had some boring, cookie-cutter quarterback that had no personality, that brought no charisma whatsoever to the party, and just said, you know, we'll just deal with it. You could have had Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
Nothing against him, but he's boring. He's young. The funnest part about him is his wife's Instagram page.
In that regard, I think that that's why I said last week that I thought Cam was the perfect guy to kind of come in here after Tom. Because there isn't a quarterback in this league, or especially anybody that was available, where you come in and the very first question would be, what's he going to be like dealing with the pressures of taking over for Tom Brady? Stidham would face that. Any other quarterback you could name of would face that. If you drafted a kid in the first round, right away you'd face that because you're labeling him the kid of the future, right? Cam Newton comes in here, and if you said, what's it feel like replacing Brady? He's like, that's not on my mind right now. What my mind is proving everybody wrong, everybody that passed up on me. Carolina didn't want to extend me. This team didn't want me. They didn't want to pay me that kind of money. Like, right now, the only thing in his mind is proving people wrong, and he's motivated to go out there and play at a high level. I think he's like the one quarterback you brought in here where replacing Tom Brady isn't the first thing that pops up in your head, or his head, I should say, more.
No, and I would also say is that he is not going to be held to the same, I guess, I'm not going to say standard, but it's a totally different offense. So Stidham would probably run more of a Brady offense because he was learning it last year. Cam Newton is not learning Brady's system. I mean, it's Stidham would, so he would be judged on, he would be judged in comparison to what Brady did and how he did it and how he threw it. Cam Newton is completely ruining that, completely tearing that apart. It's Cam Newton's offense. I mean, Josh McDaniels is looking through his play sheet, and he's keeping the formations the same, the motion is the same, but the nuances of the route and how they affect the play, I mean, are all Cam Newton. So how are you going to sit there and say, hey, Brady would have done it differently, when Brady never would ever run the plays that Cam Newton would run? So you can't compare the two. Now, maybe you compare them post-game, what they sound like, how he relates to his to the players, how he relates to Bill, that you can compare him to. But playing ability, it's not even close. They're, you couldn't have a polar opposite player than the two. Stidham is more like Brady, yeah, and less of Cam Newton.
Yeah. All right, just a quick update in the story here. Pat Mahomes, you heard it earlier, Adam Schefter reports that Pat Mahomes has signed a 10-year extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. He tweeted out a little bit ago, it says, multiple sources believe ultimately it's tied to a percentage of the salary cap for each season. The higher the cap goes, the more Mahomes will make. Then he just retweeted this. Pat Mahomes got 2 years left in his deal at $27.6 million. His 10-year extension is worth over $400 million, though it's still uncertain how much over. So the lowest his 12-year extension will be is for $426 million, but it will be more. More than $400 million, the extension.
He's tied to the cap, so what they're saying is he's not going to be a victim of the cap situation now. So his value is, instead of being, after 5 years, that him being undervalued as a player, as the cap grows, so does his salary.
What was the number? I remember back when Brady signed his extension, I think there was a quote from Robert Kraft saying that, you know, we're lucky we got a guy in Brady that doesn't want to max out the cap, because if we had a quarterback, we don't think we could put a winning team around him. And I think that number was like 18 to 20% of the cap. And they try to keep that number below. Cap is what, right now, 200 in that range, 205, a little over, 210, whatever you want to call it. So 20% of a cap is $40 million, right? Roughly. So is he going to sit there and say, I want 17, 18% of the cap every year? I want 38 this year, and if it goes up, I make 40, 42, 48, whatever. So is that how you do it? Tough to factor in what the final number would be, but you can kind of project it, I guess.
Well, but this is, I think this is first of all, there's not a lot of players like Patrick Mahomes, so no. They're not going to be able to command this. Because what the biggest issue was, this is why players always used to get angry. I'm going to sign a long-term deal. The cap's going to go up. I'm going to be undervalued. I'm going to be taking I should be making more money. I'm devalued now. So that what used to be look like a lot of money in year two and three, at year five is nothing. There's other people who aren't as good as me that are benefiting from a rise in the cap number. And they're making more than me, yet I'm a better player. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm Lee Steinberg. I'm Patrick Mahomes' agent. You know what? We're not going to play it that way. As the cap goes up, his percentage of the cap goes up. We're always going to follow the cap. So he's always going to be getting a raise. Every year the cap goes up, he's not going to be hamstrung and stuck with a cap number that he signed in 2020. He'll be making money based on the cap number in 2025, 2027. He'll always be the highest paid player at his position,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of
he might not be
awesome.
No, just because I'm just saying, if he wants 18, 20% of the cap and he makes 40, I don't know, 3 years from now, someone could want 50. You know what I mean? Like that real number.
I know, but he's doing percentage of the cap. It guarantees him that no matter, he's never going to be stuck with that cap number. So if he's always going to get 18, 20% of the cap, he's going to get a raise every year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'll do that as long as the cap number continues to go.
Well, we'll see what happens in 2021.
Well,
after
again,
this year.
It's smart because his money is what it is for the next 2 years. And then I think this situation, this 10-year extension probably kicks in, right? Because they're saying it's actually a 12-year deal, 10-year extension. So we'll see.
Hold on. But before we go to break.
Yeah, going to break.
I'm going to give you another reason to be excited about this offense.
A Cam Newton-led offense or a Jared Stidham offense?
A Cam Newton-led. Jared Stidham is not going to be a starter. He's not going to see the field.
A lot of people think he is. Still.
I'm going to give you another reason to be excited because there's four players on this offense and they all have something in common. And I'm going to tell you what that is when we come back.
There you go. He'll tell us what it is. OMF continues right after this.
The show Bill Belichick can't stop listening to.
Honestly, I don't listen to the show a lot.
OMF.
F Bill.
On WEEI.
Oh, welcome back to OMF. No Ordway. DMFers this week. Ordway's taking the week off. We're hitting on it. Tease of all teases. Foguey.
There's a message in that song, too. You can't wait to tell you what it is. I'm so excited about it.
You want to tell me now?
No. I'm going to let you go to these calls.
One call. Chris from Newark, real quick, and then we're going to get to Fourier's outstanding tease. Chris, go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling in because you asked the question about how people feel about Cam Newton.
Yes.
And I have to say, I've never been a fan. I mean, he's a great athlete. It's his persona. I think it's off the field. I'm not a fan of his. But I feel, after listening to the two things you played, one by Brady and one by Cam, you were right. They're very similar. And I'm feeling with Brady, it's like a bad breakup. You know, I haven't gotten over it. I can't watch anything he does. I can't listen to him. I can't do any of that. So I'm thinking I have to give Cam a chance. I don't want to, but I'm going to have to.
Even if he's a quarterback of the New England Patriots, you would still question whether you want to give him a chance. Are you a Patriots fan?
Well, I am a Patriots fan. I mean, I guess it's his personality. I'm not a fan of his personality.
Okay.
And I was a big fan of Tom's personality. But was I a fan of his personality because he was my quarterback and I liked him and he brought us, you know, all those Super Bowls and, you know, plenty of people didn't like him. Plenty of people felt he was arrogant. I never saw him that way. I did see Cam Newton that way, but I didn't see Tom Brady that way. Now I'm thinking, well, maybe he was that way and I didn't see it because he was my quarterback.
Right. I think there's some honesty there, Chris. I appreciate that. And I think maybe that's how a lot of people feel.
I do think there is going to be some getting used to Cam. There is going to be, it's going to be weird. You know, you've been sleeping next to one person your whole life. Next thing you know, you wake up and it's Cam Newton. You're like, wait a second, this is everything feels different. I don't know if I like this. And then you wait and you're like, wait, actually, it's not bad.
Person gets up, puts on like, you know, the dress suit.
Oh yeah,
or
like,
just
oh,
jeans and a
that's
button
different.
Down.
I think I like
and
this.
And all of a sudden
side.
You get someone up now, runs around in their bathing suit. And you're like, a little bit flashy.
I can deal
and
with
you're
both.
Like, huh.
I'm just as happy with both.
Okay. Interesting. So you want to give me the reasons why I should be excited about this offense?
Because I was thinking about this. There's a theme that I think is going around on the offensive side of the football. Not the defensive side of the football, the offensive side of the football. And every time I think about it, there's so many players that have a chip on their shoulder.
Oh, the song comes back.
See that? Lower. Bring it lower. Actually, I just like the beginning. I just like the beginning. Start it from the beginning.
Full circle.
And then just keep it in a loop, Ben.
Tease the song. Tease a take.
Yes.
And then bring it all together.
Okay, because here's what we got. You think about it. All the players that have something to prove, it's the perfect recipe for success, for a big year, record-breaking year.
Whoa. Record-breaking?
Record-breaking year. Think about it, okay? Alone, one of these guys alone will help your offense. Edelman, what do you think he has to prove?
Edelman's pretty good.
What do you think he has to prove?
Prove he can survive with a quarterback not named Tom Brady.
Do you think he's
motivated?
He's putting in the, motivated?
Yes.
I would say Mohamed Sanu. What do you think he has to prove?
Prove he can play in New England. He sucked last year.
Yeah, right.
Said it was put it all on the injury. Come out, play well. We'll say, yep. You know what? We should have given you a pass.
N'Keal Harry.
That he can play in this league. That he's worthy of a first-round draft choice.
Isaiah Wynn.
That he can play tackle in this league. We all thought he was going to be an all-pro tackle when he came back from injury. He improved because Marshall Newhouse was the other guy. He sucked. But we still don't know if he can play left tackle.
David Andrews.
Well, he missed an entire year last year. So he's proven that he's healthy and he can impact that offensive line.
Okay. How about your favorite one? And this is perfect. Sony Michel.
That he's not a Jag.
Cam Newton.
That he can play again.
Oh, I'm going to
Carolina made a mistake.
I'm going to add another one. Josh McDaniels.
That he could coach anyone other than Tom Brady.
I mean, honest to God, Lou.
Yeah, there's a lot of motivation there.
This is the perfect recipe for go stick it if you're behind offense. The we have something to prove offense. I got to figure out a cool nickname for them. I can't do it yet because I'm on the fly. But if you think about it,
doesn't really work.
They have every asset.
We have something to prove.
doesn't really flow off the tongue.
That doesn't really sound good. We should put the. Go ahead.
Sony Michel, Cam Newton, Julian Edelman, Mohamed Sanu, N'Keal Harry, David Andrews, Isaiah Wynn, Marcus Cannon. I'll put Shaq Mason in there. The only guy that doesn't have something to prove on that entire offense is Joe Tooney.
James White.
Who just got James White. Every other person is 100% committed and motivated to proving so many people wrong for different reasons. All of them. David Andrews has been working his ass off. The dude's going to be an all-pro. That guy's going to be an all-pro. So when I think about it, we're sitting there talking about it because every single guy is posting videos. Mohamed Sanu posting videos about working out uphill. Julian Edelman. Haven't heard anything from Sony Michel. Probably a good thing. Cam Newton. N'Keal Harry. You know how many videos I've seen of N'Keal Harry practicing routes? We talking about routes. Hey, we talking about routes. Short, intermediate routes, lateral movement, quickness, in and out of his cuts. The dude is committed to proving people wrong. So when I put all that into one room with your offensive coordinator who has been just not stuck, because that's a disrespect to Brady, we're talking about a powder keg.
See, okay, but I would...
Okay, you can catch me.
I feel better about the guys you mentioned that have proven they could play in this league, right? Cam Newton. I think he is motivated. And I can't play the game. You know, he's injury prone. Well, okay, you got hurt last year, and we'll see. Maybe week 9 he's injured. Maybe week 8, week 6. I don't know. But a healthy? Yes, a lot to prove. Edelman, I would agree. Very good wide receiver.
Okay, hold on. Cam?
Yeah, Edelman, I agree. Very good wide receiver.
All right.
Shown he can play. I think he'll be able to survive with any quarterback. I think he'll be great, you know, with
he's
anyone.
He's a system quarterback, and the system was Brady. Brady's gone.
Yeah, but I still think he'll be good.
You're just a Jag.
Well, I think he might take a step back because the two of them know each other so well, so we'll see. He's got a lot to prove.
There's your two.
Andrews, great center. No question. Shaq Mason, shown he can play. So there's guys that shown he can play, but what if Sony Michel, as motivated as he is, just is a Jag? What if... Sony, what do you call it? Isaiah Wynn really can't play left tackle. And what if Josh really can't coach anyone but Brady? You know what I mean? So there's some guys in there that you mentioned that N'Keal Harry. What if he's just not good? So I feel better about the guys that have shown me what they can do. And again, this is I can't have just this blind faith you know, that these guys will just be great because someone tells me that they're going to be great. Like a lot of people, you people did with Jared Stidham. I can't do it. I got to see it first. And sometimes I'll change very quickly. I'm like, all right, you know what? It's like Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, when he played in those games, we weren't sure what the hell he was. All of a sudden, you saw him in preseason, like, ah, okay. But when he played in that game against Arizona, you sat there and said, wow, okay, I'm all in. Because he stood in the pocket. He looked like he knew what he was doing. You know, he looked like an NFL quarterback. And he said, okay, that's all I needed to see. One game? Yeah, one game. Now, I know they'll make adjustments, but the guy can play.
See,
but those other kids, I don't know if they can play.
You're taking the pessimistic approach, and that's who you are. And I love you for it. But I'm working under the premise that they're all talented, because I think I saw enough in Sony Michel that under the right circumstances and the right attitude, he's a good player. He's not great, but he's a good player, and he can be good in this
as
league.
As long as he is,
and eight, he can help you win.
Eight amazing players blocking for him at once. He's
got
a hole.
Okay, so there's
that's
one.
Wide open.
Isaiah Wynn.
We don't know.
We don't, but I'm working under the premise that after 1 year of basically going into his third year after playing.
T-Rex arms, remember.
T-Rex arms, right? Should be playing guard. That's what they tell me. Hmm. Okay? So I think he's going to play better. Also, he's going to be playing an offense that protects his liabilities. It protects them. Run, play action, RPO, same offense that he played in Georgia. David Andrews, another guy. We know he's good, but he's had a year off. And we haven't seen him. And he's going to try to remind everybody why he was good in the first place. Shaq Mason had a bad year. Marcus Cannon, terrible year. Had some injuries. That whole offense and N'Keal Harry. Would you say better chance that he's good or better chance that he's bad? Forget about I don't know. Don't play the Ordway role. Better chance that he's good or better chance that he's bad?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to see. Maybe he can't play.
I got to
let
it play
out. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think he'll throw him the ball.
Better chance he's good.
I would say better chance that he's good. Now, long term, I don't know. I have no clue. But based on what Kelvin Benjamin did and based how quarterbacks look at their past experiences as a guide to what they can do with a current player, they're very similar. Hey, Kelvin Benjamin came in. He did the same thing. He had 1,000 yards receiving in his first year. Okay? I'm going to do the same thing for you that I did for him. I'm going to throw you the ball. Yeah, I threw it 145 times to him and only caught
73 of them.
But still, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to overwhelm you with passes. Just catch as many as you can, man.
All right. All right, you guys believe, Patriot fans, do you believe you as excited about this offense as my man Christian Fourier is? What do you say, historic?
I said, hold on, listen, don't misquote me on this.
You said record-breaking.
This is how records are made.
Record-breaking.
And how records are broken. When you corral this much attitude, this much want to prove people wrong, and on one side of the ball, yes, that's how it happens.
Record-breaking. Okay, we'll see.
This is how. No, I didn't say this is going to be a record. See, you're doing the Ordway thing.
It could be record-breaking. All right. And if Cam Newton fails, will we be able to criticize him? We'll get to all that next here on OMF.
On Twitter,
at Lou Merlone.
I obviously agree with Lou.
But what? I don't know what the hell I even said.
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
But the hyena can be doing all what they do. The elephant can be doing all he do. The giraffe. The antelope. The chimpanzees. Even the gorilla. But it's one mother in the jungle. When he roar, everything stops. And I'm about to
All right, that's your quarterback, Cam Newton. He's on Instagram.
What about the goat?
With the what? Who?
The elephant. What's the elephant? Goat.
Yeah, but I was not the same. It's just not the same.
What was that? What was the last one?
That was a hyena.
Wait, hyena. Do it again. Do the hyena again. The only hyena I know is from The Lion King.
I don't know the hyena. That's a hyena?
Yeah, when you hear that noise, you better run.
Yeah.
The hyena's coming for you.
It's only when the MF and lion roars. And that's what Cam Newton says. No more being humble.
No.
People get taken advantage of. Is that a good thing? Fourier says record-breaking offense. Is that what it was? Record-breaking.
I said, with the amount of, let me see, how do I, I'm trying to figure out how to, with the amount of players on that team that have a chip on their shoulder. This is how records are broken and made, and how teams and why teams go to the playoffs. Like, because individually, they could care less what is going on. They're happy to win, but they're so agitated and irritated based on the criticism that was thrown their way,
yeah,
or the lack of support or doubt. All those are aspects of championship football. They are. Like, every single – that entire offensive line had a crap year. Oh, you know what? We couldn't do anything because we didn't have a fullback. Okay. Well, then they all got hurt. They all played like crap. They never had any consistency. And, oh, by the way, guys, you lost your offensive line coach. You'll never be any good. You can't win without Dante Scarnecchia. He's the glue. Okay, but you have a veteran offensive line that is coming back that was embarrassed last year. They're all embarrassed. They play like crap. You're back. Everyone thinks you're back as a Jag. So if you think they're back as a Jag, that Sony Michel is just a Jag, well, that is proof that the offensive line sucks.
Well, last year it did. That's for sure. And I just go back to, you know, we all – personally, I think we were overrating this offensive line to begin with. We'll see what they're like, you know, without an all-pro fullback. We'll see what they're like without two of the best blocking tight ends in football, and Dwayne Allen, who was like another tackle, and Rob Gronkowski. So we loved the offensive line 2 years ago. We loved Sony Michel 2 years ago. But you basically have eight of the best in the game. You know, maybe not the offensive line was the best in the game, but they were healthy. They were one unit, good players on that line. Can they do the same thing without a James Devlin? You know, I know Vitaly's here, the fullback from Green Bay, but can they do the same thing without two of the better tight ends as far as blocking goes? Will they be able to run the football, you know, as well without those guys? So we'll see. The offensive line is going to be better than it was last year because it was awful, but I'm not so sure it's as good as everybody thinks.
I will say that it's going to be easier for them to run the football.
Well, I think it will, and I was going to say that I think Sony Michel maybe benefits the most.
Yeah.
Because if Sony Michel's on the field, he's the most predictable running back in the game last year. He was. And they could run play action off it because when he's in the game, they run the football. That's it. So, you know, if you're going handing the ball to Sony Michel, everybody can commit, right? I mean, it's just they're going to give him the ball here. Linebackers, safeties in the box, whatever it is. That little hesitation now that Cam Newton's a quarterback. He could keep it and go to the outside. That little hesitation might open things up for Sony.
I'll even add this.
Or whoever's the running back.
The fact is that for the longest time, every coach, every defensive coordinator knew exactly what to expect. They couldn't have a hard time stopping it, but they kind of knew how to attack Brady, who to double, you know, who, how, you know, what situ- you know, they knew. They knew everything. They just had, he was so good, they just had a hard time stopping
it.
Now you have absolutely no clue what they're going to do. You can sit there and say, well, I'll just look at old Carolina film. You don't know that. There's, I mean, that doesn't mean that's what they're going to run. You have no clue what they're going to run, what type of wrinkles they're going to throw in. Are they going to try and run an I-back situation? Are they going to go heavy RPO? Now you have this threat of a running quarterback. You don't know when they're going to. They have no tendencies. Right. Zero tendencies.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Let me go to Rocco, who's over in East Somerville. Rocco, go ahead, buddy. You're on OMF.
Yo, Uncle Louie, what's up, man?
What's up, Rocco?
How you doing, man? I hope you had a good fourth, man. Oh, listen. Yeah. All right, so I like the Cam Newton sign, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I'm not hating it, but my whole thing is, right, this is where I it's like...
Rocco, you got to call back.
Lamar Jackson, couple...
Rocco, we can't hear you, Rocco.
Can you hear me?
Go.
I said, you had an opportunity to get Lamar Jackson a couple of years ago in the draft, not once, but twice. You took Sony Michel and the linemen. I mean... Cam Newton and Lamar Jackson are kind of the similar players, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Like, Lamar would have been sitting under Brady for 1 or 2 years, and then you would have Lamar for, like, 4 or 5 years, to be quite honest with you, instead of having Cam Newton for 1 year. That's why I'm just like, Bill dropped the ball. This genius that sees 10 steps ahead that everybody thinks he does, but he really doesn't. He drops the ball on that one. All right, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I would shred him for not drafting Lamar Jackson. I think you can look back in hindsight. But, I mean, you bring Lamar Jackson here as backing up Brady. Maybe year one, you figure you can use him a bunch of different ways. Year two, he's still not your quarterback. Brady's here for the first 2 years while he's here, right? And then you hand it over to him, you're changing everything. So and I don't know how similar they are.
There's so many aspects
they both run,
but they're
different.
Offense that are intriguing to me. And the most intriguing one is just the different personalities. Not necessarily, I guess, maybe it's not necessarily their personalities, but how they serve it up to you. I said before I left that people in New England are going to have a hard time accepting Cam Newton.
Because of his style.
His style is different. You're not used to it. You've had the same thing for 20 years. You've grown accustomed to it. You've developed ways to excuse his behavior. You've developed ways of allowing yourself to believe some of the things that come out of his mouth. You mentioned, hey, you won't get sunburned if you drink a lot of water.
Right.
I'm sorry. Whatever. Or you just excused it, or you let it just kind of, you know, you just let it go because he was Brady and he won.
Well, who's the guy that used to go to all these conventions? Who's the guy that speaks and, you know,
Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins. I mean, yeah.
Is there a bigger hack than Tony
Robbins?
There's
a lot of things, I would say, in the last 2 or 3 years that, you know, some people have called out, some people have overlooked, and you sort of been like, it's not kind of uncomfortable. But with Brady or this or that, everything, you know? I mean, you love him. I don't think anyone's going to forget what he ever did for you. But, yeah, there's a lot of people that held back those feelings or defended him. Will they defend Cam the way they defended Tom? Now, I would say no, because it's Tom Brady, for Christ's sakes. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, and he did it here. He brought you to 9 Super Bowls. He won 6 of them. I mean, Jesus, you can't compete with that. Nobody
can.
So you
ignored some of the stuff that – so if Brady took his act to another city – where they were
3 years
Chicago,
ago.
Another city that had a passionate fan base, kind of stuck in their ways, and were willing to criticize anybody, no matter who, Dallas, criticize anybody.
I'm saying like 3 years
New
ago.
New York.
So he goes somewhere new and doesn't win for that city.
Yeah.
And we see Brady out here doing things, or he's going to Tony Robbins or to Tom Versus Time, and just everything would be picked apart differently than here. And I get why. But I'm just saying people are going to treat Cam Newton differently, correct? Like, if he's bad, people are going to be pissed at Cam Newton. He's the new quarterback. I wonder how that's going to be played out.
I guess my question
nationally.
Would be, as a fan, are you willing to give Cam Newton the benefit of the doubt? Are you willing to give him a grace period where you just, instead of making a knee-jerk reaction based on the past, what you've seen, like me, all I have to go on is what I've seen, and I don't like it. So are you willing, as a fan of the New England Patriots, to give him a grace period, to allow him to identify himself to you, and then decide whether you like it or not? I don't know. I'm not sure. I think people, for the most part, are creatures of habit, and they'll eat the same thing over and over again. They'll sit in the same seat. When you were in school, when you didn't have assigned seating, or if you were a player, did you usually sit in the same spot? You're creatures of habit.
A lot of times.
You don't have assigned seating, but you just go to the same spot. That becomes your seat. Everybody knows it's your seat, and you're just used to it. And now somebody says, okay, here's a different flavor. Here's a different style. Yeah, I'm never going to try that. That's gross.
Yeah, I feel like Cam Newton's going to be judged, we've said this before, based on his performance, right? If the team is winning and he's playing at a high level, everybody will absolutely love Cam Newton. They will love Superman. They will love the first downs. They will love the press conference. They'll love the hats if this team starts off 4-5-0, whatever it is. Or they're winning football games, 4-1, 5-1. He's playing at a high level. If he's not playing at a high level and this fan base starts calling for the backup quarterback, you know, or this fan base is critical of Cam Newton, how is that going to be perceived? And I worry that we're going to come back to the whole Boston, Massachusetts can't handle a black quarterback thing. You know, if you're critical of Cam Newton in any way, then it's because you don't like black people. And I don't see that. I mean, I think that there will be some of it. I think that, you know, like we said, there's racism everywhere. And I think there'll be some people like, yeah, I just don't like him. I don't like his style. You know, what does that mean? Well, you know, I don't like the way he dresses or the way he acts or the way he talks. I think there'll be a lot of people that, if they don't like his performance, will say they just don't like him because he's not playing well.
See, I agree with you. And what stands out to me is that when I signed here as a free agent back in 2001, so many people told me about how tough the fans were here, how they were basically jerks, and they were just mean and nasty. It could not be farther from the truth. I think there's a certain amount of respect that is given once it's earned. But initially, you're a little cautious. You're an outsider. We don't know you. We only all we know about you is what we've seen from the little clips that ESPN plays. And there are usually extremes, celebrations to poutiness, walking off during the Super Bowl to giving a ball to a fan, to not falling on the football in the Super Bowl, looking like you don't care, to, doing a great job with kids in the neighborhood, to being stupid at a post-game press conference talking about routes, to, winning an MVP.
Yeah.
The extreme, they're so vast. So are Patriot fans willing to give him a pass or to give him the benefit of the doubt
if he's
at least to start?
Playing well. I mean, again,
why does he have to play well? I mean, what if the first 4 weeks suck?
Well, Christian, if he sucks, they're going to be calling for Jared Stidham because everybody still believes is a first-round talent and is great quarterback in this league.
So then he'll be great again.
Why did Bill even bring Cam Newton in when you have this guy on the bench? This is called a quarterback controversy, one we haven't seen in like 20 years since Brady and Drew Bledsoe. And there will be those talks. And I go back to, like, you just related to baseball when you start talking about some of the athletes in town. Like, I don't really know if anybody looked at David Price and their disdain for David Price. I don't even know if he looked at him as a black guy, as a black man. Like, I just think that you heard him speak and you're like, oh my God, I don't want anything to do with this guy. And then there's Mookie Betts, who everybody sat there and loved because he was a great player, an MVP type of player. So Cam Newton goes out and struggles. Then you're going to have to, be able to criticize him without people. And, you can't control it. We brought this up even last week and people, you just don't like a black quarterback in the league. I like a winning quarterback in this league. And if Cam Newton wins, everyone's going to love him. If not, they're going to call for Stidham to start. And then that's going to turn into, Boston doesn't want the black guy. They want the white guy at quarterback. We've seen it before. Although people in Carolina could be critical of Cam and maybe not get called that. I don't know. There's a different standard here for some reason. But that's the case. That's going to happen if he's not playing well.
No, and I would say even when Cam was a rookie, he lost his first two games. But in those first two games, he threw for over 800 yards. Played great, tons of touchdowns, was a stud.
Then we'll blame the defense.
And so I know, but so if you're – you say if the team is playing well,
if he's playing well
and the team is struggling, you're not going to blame him.
No.
The question is, will he be like Brady and take the blame? When they lose, see, to me, that's where it's going to be intriguing. Does he allow himself, does he self-sacrifice? Does he blame himself? Hey, N'Keal Harry dropped that ball. That was my fault. I had to throw a better pass because that's what Brady does. Hey, you know what? We got to score. I gotta put us in a better position to score. Or does he just avoid it altogether? That, to me, is where the line is going to be drawn on whether or not you'll accept Cam Newton. Does he give all the credit to the other players, and does he take all the blame? That's what Brady did, and that's what I think people respect from him, even when we all know it wasn't his fault. He took it anyways.
All right, let's go to the call real quick here. I want to go to Tim and Natick. Tim, go ahead. You're on OMF.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Tim?
Couple real quick things. One, Lou, you're right, but when it comes to quarterback controversy, if Cam's not playing well, but I think Belichick has the Jedi mind trick powers to convince the fans otherwise, because all it's going to take is him saying Cam's our quarterback, and then everyone else will jump on board saying, sure, well, Cam must be the better quarterback than Stidham.
But he's got to play well.
But he does have to play well, but if Belichick keeps putting him in there, then I'm convinced that Belichick thinks Cam is obviously better than Stidham, and that's good enough for me when it comes to that. But the quickest thing I see where the Pats are going to actually get behind Cam Newton, and this has followed him his whole career, where he always takes some huge punishing hits, sometimes after the whistle, after the fact, and flags don't get thrown. And with it, if Boston isn't one thing, New England is one thing, we will protect our own. And we start seeing Cam getting taking hits and flags not getting thrown, we're gonna be BS at the refs. We're gonna be calling for heads because that's our guy. And that's when you'll see people start to back Cam. He's gonna put his body out there. He's gonna rush for a first down and take a late hit. And if a flag doesn't throw, you watch. Pats fan will be behind him 100%.
Yeah, but that to me is.
Again, if he plays well.
I agree with that. But do you not think that the difference is in the details?
Yes.
I would say they're both wired the same. I'm going to prove you wrong, even though one was a first pick in the draft, MVP, Heisman Trophy winner, recruited by every single school. Come on. Like Brady, sixth round pick, that whole story. The devil is in the details on whether or not you'll accept it or not.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, listen, this hour, by the way, we're doing the show live from Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Studio. We got 30 minutes of commercial-free content coming at you next. I want to dive into what MLB is facing right now and how they're screwing it up, and will the NFL follow in their footsteps, or will they actually learn from something? We'll do that coming up next here on OMF.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.